Blog Talk Radio.
Do we need that? Do we need applause, Liz? What do you say? Holy moly, do we need that?
I know, and I'm drinking a coffee that probably has two shots of espresso in it and doing deep breathing at the same time. So
keep it zen, baby doll. Welcome, people, to She's Raising the Bar Blog Talk Radio, coming at you bi-coastally now, Wednesdays, 10 a.m., on the West Coast and 1 p.m. on the East Coast. And my poor Lizzie, you can't even have a drink now after last night. You can't even have a drink because it's 10 o'clock. I mean, you can have a mimosa.
I can.
You can.
It's in the refrigerator, but I did take a little look at it when I put my cream in my coffee.
Got a girl.
I just took a look.
Yeah.
And closed it up, grabbed the half and half, and then that was it. But,
That's what you know,
we still have a while to go, so I need to spread everything out. Hopefully.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You and I were talking last night, and again, you know, New York time. Things were happening quicker here than you got it there. And I was even saying, well, we're doing bourbon. We're saving the champagne until we could use the champagne. And we just did bourbon the whole night. You know, I went to bed probably about midnight, maybe a little after midnight.
Right.
And I just couldn't sleep. And I was up around 3:45, and I started putting the news on. And just, you know, I think that's going to be our day the next. It's going to be our days for a little bit. So we just have to get used to it and pace ourselves. That's really it.
Yeah, the patience, it's hard. It's hard waiting.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, gets that kid in them, I think, and they just want to know and get on with it. But, you know, there's still so many issues regardless of who wins. And it will be soon. Again, we just have to wait it out. But that was fun talking to you last night, Lori, because I know, you know, I mean, obviously on the East Coast where you are, you get it first, you know.
Yeah.
And then it would come in here. But, I was excited that Biden took all of California. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's certain things that we know. We know New York and we know California. That's what we do know. And, you know, I sometimes think that we kind of live in a bubble. I mean, I'm a New Yorker. I've been here all my life. Kind of live in a bubble because we pretty much speak the same language. We know pretty much who we're voting for. And it's a more progressive mindset. And again, everybody's got a right to vote the way they want. That's a privilege. But we know the West Coast and the East Coast are going to pretty much be in step with each other's voting. And so I knew that. It's just, you know, you're watching and just saying, you know, it's going to be long. It's going. And I was saying to you even last night, I think the hard part is going to be healing the divide in this country. And I think that most people that I knew of and were online with me as we're watching this were hoping it was going to be a landslide because you know the devil you had. And you got to see him in action, and then now you still vote for him. I think that was the most horrendous part of the whole thing. But in saying that, we just have to have somebody, and I wouldn't want the job, believe me. This is not a job I would want to try to even begin to start, but we need somebody who's going to reach both sides of the aisle and make this an area that we used to just agree to disagree. You don't discuss religion and politics at a party, and it's not going to get violent. And that's what we have to get back to, because we can disagree. It's a privilege to disagree, but we need to be able to. And the funny thing is, I was talking to somebody who definitely votes on a more conservative side than I do. And we were going back and forth talking yesterday. And again, agreeing to disagree, I said, but you know what? All I want is you and I to disagree over tequila. I say you're wrong, and you tell me why I'm wrong. And I walk you to your car and say hello to your family, happy Thanksgiving. That's what I want again. Because that's okay. We're not, this country was not built on everybody agreeing about the same thing. This is what we need to be able to do that safely.
And you're right, because other things come up when you're watching it and you're like, wow, even now we're this divided. I didn't see that coming. That was a surprise. Yeah. And, you know, and that's a real issue beneath it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was the most hurtful part of last night, because I'm optimistic in the outcome of all this.
But
I think the most disappointing part was, how can we see all of these things and still vote? You know, and I just don't get it. But whatever, you know, people are entitled to their opinion. But I just don't get, you know, again, I've disagreed with many people as far as policy, but this is very different. This is just very different. So in saying that, I want to actually, go ahead, Lizzie, what are you going to say, sweetie?
Oh, guys, you're good, Lori.
I took a sip
of my coffee, but I'm good.
I caught you, baby. I wanted to know if you wanted to say something before I introduce you.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that, you know, I agree, and I just expected a little bit more difference. But, you know, people, it's hard for people to change, including, you know, I am who I am and you are who you are, and that's how it is.
Exactly.
And people, even when certain things go down, they don't change. So they vote how they want to vote, and it's going to stay that way.
And I will tell you this, I still, you know, I always wait for election day to vote. And John and I went yesesterday, and it's still, I get very emotional, because it's a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing to walk out, to cast a ballot. They give you your sticker, and you walk out, and you made your vote. And this is the one thing that we do as a country. It's uniform.
Right.
It's probably one of the few things that we all do together, regardless of party line. This is a day we do it. And it's a beautiful, and I get goosebumps. I, you know, I've been voting since I'm 18. I'm going to be 58 in a couple of weeks. It's still a beautiful thing to me. And, you know, God bless us, we still have that right. And again, agreeing to disagree is, I think, something that we should be able to do. But I want to introduce cast of characters in this two-person play. On my way, 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 way west is the lovely Elizabeth Colossos. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hear that? They're giving you a
that
look.
That is really nice.
You see that?
They know
how you look, sweetheart. They know how you look. Believe me. See?
Okay.
See, they know how you look. They know how you look. They've seen the promos. They know how you look. So they show up just for that. Lori Towers is me.
That's
holding
funny.
Down the East Coast. And welcome to She's Raising the Bar every Wednesday. We're so happy you could join us. 8 years and counting. So we're just so happy to be here. And you know what's really interesting? Today's guest, and I'm going to give a little, I'm going to say that after last night, and I promised we weren't going to talk politics when, when our guest is on. We could do that after for one little bit. But she is the producer-director of Grey is the New Blonde. And I think we actually first met her about 2 years ago, I'm gonna say. And I was thinking, wow, I'm sure a lot of people have a few more gray hairs from last night. I know I do. And I know I have. I don't know you, Blondie. I don't know if you have a few more gray hairs, but I know a lot of people do. And Victoria Marie has been a trailblazer in gorgeous, gorgeous woman, gorgeous gray hair. And the interesting thing is we met her. We were doing a show. I think the show was like a show on gray hair, 50 Shades of Gray. And all of a sudden, we had different guests on. All of a sudden, our switchboard light lit up, and sometimes we take calls, sometimes we don't, depending on the show. And then all of a sudden, I said, you know what, let's take this call. And she was actually on the set of a movie, and she just wanted to call in and talk to us. And she said,
wow,
you know, I just have, you know, I have a few minutes, but if I get called back on set, I'm going to have to just drop off. But we actually were able to talk to her for about 20 minutes, and she was absolutely lovely and insightful. So she's on with us now. We're going to bring her on, Victoria Marie. Are you there, sweetie?
Hi.
Yes, hey, darling.
I have to live up to all that now.
Oh, you do.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
doing
you
plenty,
that.
Baby doll. How are you? Welcome to the show. Again, this is, I think, your third
Thank
time
you.
On the show, yeah?
I think
the third
so.
Time on the show.
Yeah. Three or four
how
times.
How are you, darling?
For sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, might even before. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm good. I just finished my, today was cardio day, so I
good.
Did my hour of cardio.
Get it out.
Even though it's
there
right,
you go.
Right
you
here
do
in
it,
my
you
apartment.
Do an hour? Wow. Okay.
On,
that's
you
a
do
lot.
An hour
every
day? That's a lot, yeah.
On certain, oh, I wish I could. I just don't have the time, but I do an
yeah.
hour of working out. So today I didn't have to do any, didn't have to do my legs or my arms or my shoulders or anything because
mm-hmm.
I have a schedule. And so I've already done that on Monday and Tuesday. Now I need to take a little break. So my break means I do an hour of cardio, and then tomorrow I
yeah.
do, what do I do tomorrow? Legs tomorrow. And this is
That's
how
fair.
I do my workouts, right in my apartment, which is here in California. We are still in lockdown. I guess other people in other states are beginning to experience that too. I don't know, but
yeah,
it's
yeah.
I haven't been to a gym in I don't know how long, and it's really frustrating. But I do something
mm-hmm, yeah.
here in my apartment,
you
and that's
to.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. The gyms are not doing well
sure.
on the East Coast. Yeah, the gyms are not doing well on the East Coast. I mean, again, opening with, when they try to open with, you know, like half capacity, it's really very hard.
Right.
I mean, restaurants and gyms, I think are really the harshest, you know, assault from this whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough, but at least, you know, you're doing something, you're keeping yourself well and healthy, and God knows you have to.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm an avid gym goer, like that
yeah,
is
I know.
My life.
Yeah,
so not
yeah.
being able to get to the gym has been really challenging for me. But I do what I can here with my 10-pound dumbbells, which is definitely not heavy enough, but I manage. And
I know.
Because and then when you know you try to initially I try to go out and buy all these dumbbells, there was just none available. They were all sold out.
I know.
Yeah, so
even on
everyone
Amazon,
has,
even on Amazon, really?
Everything.
Wow.
I haven't tried in the last 5-6 weeks. I just gave
yeah.
up thinking,
yeah.
oh, the gyms are gonna be open soon. So
oh,
it's
I
okay. But no. So yeah, it's not been fun, but I'm sure for everyone.
So,
and
Victoria,
I have no problems, really.
Okay,
go ahead,
really
Lizzie.
I
was just about to introduce you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was out. I said, she seems like, Victoria, you seem like you really like the gym.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I can't go to the gym, like, especially being out. You said you're out in California?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't go either.
No,
there
but
is,
I like
there is,
the trails and taking my dog on hikes. I mean, I
oh,
don't know
yeah.
if I like it. I do it. And because
mm-hmm.
we have so, you know, access to so much here outside. And I didn't know if you liked that part of working out as well.
You know, I grew up in New York City. So there was
mm-hmm.
no option to do that. So I just
yeah.
never got into it. I'm sure if I had grown up, because I've only been in L.A. for 7 years now, I'm sure
mm-hmm.
if I grew up here, I would have, you know, gotten all involved in all the different options one has outside. But
yeah.
I didn't. So I just got into this routine since I'm 20 years old of going to the gym, and it just
mm-hmm.
I just stuck with me. But I'm sure I would
yeah.
like the hiking, because hiking out in nature just seems wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just
yeah.
haven't really done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm, well, that's what but I'm glad saying. For what I do have, yeah.
I was saying to Liv a couple of weeks ago, when she comes to New York, Central Park is it. I mean, you could just walk around Central Park, and honestly, you don't even hit the entire circumference in an hour and a half.
Right.
And it's just beautiful.
Right.
You have the hills, and you just have the beauty, and you just say, my God, this is just a gem. This is just, you're in New York, and you don't even feel like you are. And it's something you have to experience. You really do.
When I lived there, I used to go running around the, what you call it, the reservoir. Yeah, that was wonderful. Oh, my gosh, and everyone's running there with you. It's really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are many things I miss about New York City, just not the cold weather.
Yeah, no. A lot of people say that. Again, Central Park, I always say it's just wonderful. Every season has its beauty, and it's a sense of community, too.
Oh,
it's just like everybody's
there
for the same reason, and you're talking to people. It's New York at its finest, I think.
Oh, yeah. I love New York City for so many reasons, and I miss New York City so often. But not enough to live there.
No, you know what? A lot of people say the same thing. You have to be okay with it.
Yeah, and really like the cold.
Yeah, yeah. And it's getting colder. It's certainly getting colder, you know?
Yeah.
So tell us what you've been up to. I'm sorry. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, just, I can remember it snowing in October and November. I like snow.
Oh, yeah.
From inside with a hot cup of hot chocolate.
That's how I like it.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I like shoveling. But at 58, I still that'll be my workout for the day if we have, a foot of snow or so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know in 20 years how I'm going to feel. I don't know. Right now, it's okay. But when I'm 78, I don't know. I might not never change my opinion. But you know what? If the cold is an issue, then, it's time to relocate someplace else. So I totally agree.
Yeah.
So tell us what you're up to since we last spoke, which was before the premiere of Grey's New Blonde, I believe.
Okay. Yes. So the premiere was magical. It was magical. It was, I can't really put into words. It was just a wonderful experience being there with everyone, in the movie theater.
Oh, wow.
The energy was palpable. You could just, it was just wonderful. And then we had the after party in a beautiful restaurant. It was just a magical evening.
So cool.
And so I wanted to duplicate that as much as I could. And so that was in January, the end of January. And you know what? That was the last time I went to a movie. That was pretty much the last time I went out, January 23rd.
Wow.
And so I thought this would be such a great experience if I could duplicate this on some level to other areas of the country. And that was the plan. Mm-hmm. May the 6th, we were going to have 18 cities at 7:30 at night, the 7:30 local time. And there were going to be event hosts that within that particular city who worked with me to, get the word out there and people to buy the tickets, et cetera, and then have like a party, be with your tribe, sitting in that theater together. And then, of course, in March, we know what happened. And how naive I was, I thought, I'm not going to cancel. Well, of course, I canceled.
Yeah.
And then I postponed it to July, and that had to be canceled too. So I just stopped scheduling since.
Yeah.
Every day is new information as far as what's going on with lockdowns and spikes of cases and so forth. So I guess we're not going to do the in theater experience. So let me just go ahead and start streaming it, which is what I did, and I'm still doing it. I was selling the DVDs all directly from the website, and that's been going really, really well. But then I thought, okay, well, it's obvious. And so for anyone who wants to view the movie, they can do so just by going to the website, grayisthenewblonde.com, and gray is spelled with an A, not an E,
mm-hmm.
gray. Gray is the new blonde, and there's an E at the end of blonde.
Yeah.
I think a blogger has Gray is the New Blonde without the E. And I've had
really
not that often. Yeah. So I'm sure she did that because she couldn't get the what I had.
okay.
So she
I'd love to
so she's a blogger.
It. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you just Gray is the New Blonde without the E. Oh, the movie you'd like to see. So the movie is very powerful and very inspirational, which is the two adjectives I've heard over and over and over again from women who have seen it. And so I thought, okay, well, I can't have the in-theater experience. Let's do a worldwide streaming event, which was supposed to be on the 17th of October, where people will... I'll try to duplicate that in-theater experience as closely as possible.
Yeah.
By having a seamless, it didn't work out that way, by the way, a seamless intro, live intro, just like you have a live intro when you're in the theater together. Then we all watch the theater, the movie, and then there is a Q&A to follow after. Well, while it would have been great if it could have been seamless, and it was so technically challenging, and I'm pretty technically savvy. But I worked on this since August, and it just I couldn't get it together. Finally realized, well, I'm not going to be able to do it by myself. I'm going to have to pay someone, pay a tech person. By the time I got that all together, and October 17th was supposed to be the day. By the time I was able to realize I needed a tech person, and the communication was slow with these tech people, and I finally settled on one. It was just too late. I didn't have enough time to properly market and get the word out that this was going to happen, so it never happened. I had to cancel it, unfortunately, and I do not like doing that. But I didn't want the viewers, the attendees, to have to jump through all these hoops of sign up here, then you have to go to this website, then you have to go to that. That would have taken away from the experience. I may revisit this in 2021. I don't know. But things are moving forward. I stopped selling the DVDs because the educational market, there are distributors who distribute documentaries of interest to libraries and universities and community colleges, et cetera. So I'm now approaching the educational market, and having DVDs available for sale on my website would have undermined their efforts, their marketing efforts. So I took the DVDs down, and I'm in conversations now with different distributors. And moving forward, I suppose the plan is maybe we can have an in-theater experience in 2021. Maybe not.
Hopefully, yeah.
We will see. We will see. Because it's crazy that the one-year anniversary of the premiere is fastly approaching. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Even though we were all inside for the most part this year, it still seems like it just flew by, at least for me. I don't know. So I'm now working with other distributors, and I just learned yesterday that Amazon Prime has picked up the movie. So it'll be showing on Amazon Prime. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it may be live right now. I'm not sure. But
I'll check it, yeah.
There are lots of platforms out there that want to show the film. It really has been quite successful, which is, of course, just humbling, and I still am pinching myself because I'm not a filmmaker. I had never made a film before. I'm basically self-taught. and just figured things out as I went. So I really wanted to produce something that was very meaningful, not only to the women around the world who were either or already transitioned or thinking about it or kind of halfway through it, but meaningful as well to this time in history, because it's a notable time for women on many levels, not only
many
because
levels.
Of their hair, but their hair really represents how repressed women have been for too long. Because most people don't realize, unless they are already gray, silver, or attempting to go that way, how much negative pushback women receive from family, friends, and just people they don't even know off the street.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
The negative feedback is ridiculous, and why people would care so much. So it's an important time for women in many, many ways, on many levels, and it is time sooner or later for people to stop caring if a woman has gray hair or not. It's really kind of shocking, but people do, and people will have no problem commenting to a woman directly to her face that she does not look good and she needs to do something with her gray roots.
Horrible.
Like going
hair
up
already
to the woman directly?
Absolutely.
Because
I see the film,
empowerment from the woman that she feels comfortable enough to do it.
That doesn't happen. That should be the case.
And it will be at some point. At some point in the future, there will be no more conversation about a woman who decides to go gray. Like there is no conversation if a man decides to go gray.
Nope.
People don't even think of there's not even a thought about it. It's just even, you know, young men in their late 20s and early 30s are starting to go gray. No, they don't think about it. They don't want to go covered up. And they just get on with their life. Well, soon, I want to predict maybe in 10 years, this is how it will be for women. And we will be revered. We will not be made to feel less than, because we just don't want to dye our hair anymore, or we don't ever want to start dyeing our hair.
Right.
It's like, okay, here's a good analogy. During COVID, people stayed home, and as a result, had access to food, and as a result, people gained weight. A lot of people gained weight. Would anyone ever think to go up to someone that they know or don't know and say, oh, you gained weight, I see that. Wow, you really need to lose some weight now, buddy. Like, nobody would do that. That's so rude and insensitive. Because maybe someone gained weight because of COVID, but maybe they gained weight because they have a medical condition. We don't know. It's the same with women. Maybe a woman chose to embrace her gorgeous grays, but maybe she has cancer or she is pregnant and she doesn't want to. Hello? So we don't know why a person goes gray, but people have no problems walking straight up to a woman they don't even know and commenting to her. And it happens so frequently. It's just amazing. So we will get there. But this is
and to
an
your
important.
Point, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To your point.
I still
both
find that hard
Liz
to believe
and,
that they would go
and
straight
Victoria.
On.
Now think about this. Ageism and sexism has been around for centuries. Now you would never think to have ever said to Sean Connery, rest his soul, don't go gray. George Clooney, don't go gray. Why? Because a man still has its potency, his potency on the sexual marketplace. A man can still have a child when he's 72. Women can't. And that's why we have a certain shelf life. and I hate to say it, women buy into ageism even more than men. We'll do it to each other. So I think that the change in narrative has to be, I could, you know, most men that I know of wouldn't go up to a woman and say something like this. Most men, but a woman will say it to a sister like this. So I think we have to change that dialogue. And the only way we're going to change that dialogue is changing the veneer of things. And I think when more women go gray, and I'm going to say it's a choice. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But I think it's a wonderful look.
That's right.
If you have good for you and enjoy it. And I'm going to say it might not be for me, but I'm going to applaud you for doing it. This infighting that happens with women that I'm going to say is male orchestrated, the cattiness has to stop. And once that stops, we'll move forward.
That's right. I will tell you, from all of the posts and conversations I've had over the years, the majority of negative comments actually come from other women.
That's a point.
But not always.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. And the majority of men actually like the gray hair. In fact,
in the film,
there is a segment that was done on one of the talk shows. And so we put it in the film, and it was a social experiment about a writer. She wrote a book about going gray, where she posted her profile on Match.com in three different major markets, both with gray hair and with silver hair. And three times more men wanted the silver hair woman. And so many women think, oh, I'm not going to be dateable, if you will. And that's just not the case. Yeah. That's not true.
No.
Yeah.
I was actually out with my girlfriend, and she's beautiful. She has embraced her gray hair. She, I think what makes her the most beautiful is her confidence that she has acquired. She has gone gray. And two men got up to leave as we were sitting there finishing our wine, and both complimented her on her hair, saying, I love your hair color. I love it. They didn't just say, I love your gray hair, but they were very, you know, classy in how they said it. So I think a lot of men actually really do are attracted to women and do see a certain sense of self-confidence that they have within themselves.
And that's one of the points we touched on in the film. One of the women we interviewed actually made that point, that they see the confidence from embracing our authentic selves. And that could mean a woman decides not to go gray, and she wants to continue to dye her hair. And as long as that's what's in her heart of hearts, then it's perfect. And she will have confidence from that. So when a woman embraces her authentic self, and that could mean dyeing one's hair or not, that's where the confidence comes from, because then you're, you know, you feel like powerful, that this is who I am, take it or leave it kind of thing.
And that's what men tend to like. You know, that sense of peace of, you know, she's not going back and forth. Should I do this? Should I not? You know, versus just being like, this is who I am. I embrace myself.
Well, you know what? And I'm, go ahead, Victoria. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I speak a lot.
I was going to make a point after you make a point. Go ahead. I could remember.
And
go ahead.
And men, most of the time really do like the gray and silver hair. For those men who don't, probably are not the right person for a woman.
I agree.
For the men who don't like the gray and silver hair and are looking for someone who does not represent the aging process, it's a reflection of their own insecurities about aging.
Yep.
That's really what, so that's why
so often you'll see the man who goes for the woman 20, 30 years younger than her. It's because mm-hmm. he needs to feel young again, so to speak.
Yes.
And I think for the most part, that's where that comes from. And he's not right for a woman who's really looking. And one of the women that were interviewed, she said she had divorced some time ago, and she was kind of concerned then at that point, like how were the guys she was potentially going to be dating, what are they going to think? And then she said, but then I realized if he has a problem with the color of my hair, regardless of it being gray or purple or pink or blue, he's not the right guy for me anyway.
Nope.
And that
exactly.
just said it perfectly, absolutely mm-hmm. perfectly.
That's exactly
so,
right.
Yeah, and you know what? More power to the guy who wants the younger girl. More power to the woman who says, I'm not, I don't want to go gray. So the most important thing is just to stay true to yourself, regardless
exactly.
of what that might be. Because
right.
when you're staying true to yourself, that's what makes you feel confident and powerful. As
mm-hmm.
I've said a million times, no yeah. matter what you do, somebody's going to have a problem with it. So you might as well just do what you want.
Exactly.
yeah.
No matter what you do.
I love that.
Yeah. So just go ahead and do what you want. Because if you start trying to worry about, well, they may not like this. Or they may, it's just, you know what? It is what it is. So people will
That's
get
exactly
over it.
Right.
And they'll,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they'll. And if they are really in your corner, they'll be in your corner no matter what your decisions are.
Exactly.
And if they're not, if they're not, and I promise not to talk about politics, and I'm not, but it just reminds me
no,
this
you,
comment.
You absolutely can. Go ahead.
No, no, I don't want to. I think there's too much
oh, okay.
politics. We need to kind of, it's like, I lost my train of thought now. What was I going to say?
Something political,
know.
But you didn't want to mention. Go ahead.
No, I don't now. I don't remember. I don't remember. But no matter what, when you have your tribe in your corner,
exactly.
whether that, no matter what tribe that is, that makes you feel more powerful in that you're doing the
yes.
right thing. But again,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you do, might as well just be happy and do what you want. And that's so true. If you really
and
think
you know,
about it, it really. Yeah.
What I think about is in the point that I was going to make before, if you think about all the screen sirens of the 50s and the 60s, you had Lana Turner, you had Jean Harlow.
Oh, yeah.
You had,
I know.
Oh, my God, who was all the, and you think about their hair. Their hair was flaxen blonde. Flaxen blonde is a
yep.
shade away from white or gray. But somehow, again, they were all in their 20s. They had the confidence. They were a blonde. They were in their 20s and their 30s, and they were these sex bombs. Now,
mm-hmm.
women, and although we should have more confidence being of age, we actually apologize for it. We apologize for the gray. And when you look at, you know, back to back, you really couldn't tell the difference between flaxen blonde
right.
and silver.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be hard
mm-hmm.
pressed, probably a hairstylist could. But yet, women who probably always want to be a blonde, don't want to be gray. And you have to apologize because, again, you know, you're older and I'm – and that's what we have to stop buying into. Jane Mansfield was the only other one I was thinking of. All these women, white hair. Marilyn Monroe, white hair.
Yeah.
And, again,
yeah.
they had the strut. They had the swagger because they knew what they were. And, again, it's a mindset in your 20s that you could conquer the world. But I'm thinking, you know, in your 50s and your 60s, you have have established a certain amount of life experience that's give you the energy and the confidence to walk in any room and take up every ounce of space there. White
yeah.
hair, black hair, whatever. It's true. It's true. Yeah.
That's true.
It.
Yeah. I agree. And it's well, I never think of it like that, but I do understand where I see a lot of women who just are so tired of every 2 to 3 weeks having to, you know, get their roots covered. But at the same time, feel like, you know, how am I going to be perceived if I stop dyeing my hair? Am I going to lose out on whatever, my job? And unfortunately, there is a bias, but especially in the business world, and it shouldn't be women with gray hair. That signifies someone who has lived, understands things on a more intricate level than we did when we were in our 20s. So we bring so much to the table. But you're right. Women could have all this confidence in the world, but because the media has really bombarded all of us and brainwashed us, we believe that, oh, when we get older, we've got to now start, we have to start doing all these cosmetic procedures, and I'm not against them personally. It's just that we have been made to believe that if we don't look a certain way, we're of no value, which is ridiculous. And then the overdone doneness of all of the plastic surgery procedures people and women have, they end up looking often like caricatures of their former self. They don't, and this is all in an attempt to say, oh, I look, I'm acceptable now, because the other way I wasn't acceptable. And so this is like a brainwashing that has gone on for decades and decades. And not only women have been brainwashed, but men too. I mean, we've all been brainwashed into believing when a woman, when her hair starts to go gray, she immediately needs to go cover it up as quick and never let anyone know she is gray. Which is what was talked about in the film as well, where women said they really tried, they started young and they tried to hide it. They were so ashamed. Like, oh my gosh. And the fact of the matter is that it's so gorgeous. If you look at the pictures on social media, the hair, oh my gosh. I've posted a lot of before and afters I've shared from other women, just sharing their before and after photos. And it's really remarkable. Most of the time they do look younger with their natural gray and silver hair. It's just we've been so conditioned to believe that they're going to look older. If you, but you, when you look at the two photos side by side, you're like, oh, I just look so much better. As we as a culture continue to see images, and it becomes where we start to really realize, well, she really does look good. And then you have younger children and young adults seeing these images now of women who are just rocking their gray and silver hair. And they aren't, you know, like sitting in a rocking chair with, you know, knitting needles waiting for time to pass until the end of they are living life fully. So as we see this more and more, not only in social media, but within our own families and friends, this whole concept of a woman going gray will change for the better, as it already has. When I started, when I just joined the first gray group on Facebook, there was only one, and that was in 2010. So 10 years later, there were so many. There's so many groups on Facebook for women with gray and silver hair. You could lose count.
Thank God.
So, So more and more women are learning their true value. And I will tell
you, this is an important thing. That's good.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I tell you, a lot of women have said, it was much, it became much more than just letting my hair go to its natural color. They became empowered. They felt it was the most freeing thing they've ever done in their entire life. And it just felt incredible
to, hold on, I'm sorry.
Cat. Sorry about that. Anyway, so the film also has changed my life. I had no idea when I first started that my life would be going in this direction. And mm-hmm. I'm really glad it did. Yeah.
And Victoria, how did you like the filmmaking process?
Say again, I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh, how did you like the filmmaking process? Is it something you enjoy?
No, it was, I did not.
Oh.
I'm being
That's honest.
Yeah, I'll never make another film again. And then my partner, Dave Nelson, he's the director of photography for the film. He said, you mean if someone said, they saw the movie and they said, you've got to do part two and here's $1 million to do it, would you say no? I'm like, well, maybe not. Maybe I would say yes.
Well, that's
a
different story.
But,
yeah, that's different.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. But it was a passion project, and here's why
right.
I have to say, no, I really didn't enjoy it, because I had no money, nothing,
mm-hmm.
zero.
Yeah.
Try to do anything with no money. Literally everything, all the cameras that we used, Dave was able to get them for free, and we used some, you know, very expensive cameras, very. And he was able to get them through his contacts. All of the women I interviewed, if they did not live in L.A., they had to fly to L.A., which they did. And I am humbled and eternally grateful for all the women that did. And they flew on their own dime. I literally, if I could have traveled around the country, I would have loved that. If I could have gone to other countries like Europe and Germany I would have loved that. Oh, my gosh. You know, I think about that, how much more robust the film could have been. But anyway, so I had no money. And then on top of it, I was really learning as I go. So I was – and then beyond that, there were a lot of technical issues once we started editing the film. So it was a lot of tears. But would I do it again? Yes, I would do it again. Even if I had known, okay, but it's going to be really challenging. And the funny thing was, when I first started, which was in early 2015, I thought, I'll have this out by next year.
You don't know when you're in
five years.
You just don't know.
Well, I had nothing to. No way to base that comment, because I had never done a film.
Yeah.
So
it
took me from start to finish 5 years. We started in, I started in February of 2015 and January of 2020.
No.
Almost was when the premiere was. So
wow.
I would do it again, but that's why I say, I probably will never do another film. It was very, very challenging. And I'm glad I did do it. And I'm a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was like, I am not putting out a film that I feel is, I'm embarrassed. Every little detail I went over again and again and again.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you have no idea. Because I wanted it to be right. And I didn't want it to be just good enough. Good enough wasn't going to cut it for me. It had to be to where it made women feel good and powerful.
Yeah.
And so it just had to be that perfect. And and it was, thankfully. I mean, I didn't know when we finished. I had no idea. You never know when you're doing something creative, like you said, Lori.
Yeah.
You just don't know. When you're in it, if it's people are going to like it or not, or if it's, you just don't know. And it was
it was a very exciting and magical day for me, January 23rd, for the premiere.
Wow.
But it was also very nerve-wracking because I don't want to be
late.
Imagine.
I could only imagine.
What if people hate it? You have no idea. So I was like, I was crossing my fingers. But
that
it worked out.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it was magical, because it ended up people loving it. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was scared. I was afraid what to expect. But, you know, you have to put it out there anyway. And it worked out. So, but beyond that, it's now with some distributors. And like I said, I know Amazon Prime is digesting it as to what they do in their timeline. I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm going to check
it
out later.
And then it will start showing up on many, many other platforms. Some of them I've never even heard. And I am submitting. Today is the day. I've already been going through all the steps required by the Academy Awards, but I'm going to submit for the Oscars now.
Oh, good.
Is it a long shot?
That is a
long shot.
Hey,
yeah,
so
it's a long shot.
Good.
But
good.
You know what? I'll tell you what. This year and how it turned out and is turning out. And on 9/11, when those buildings came down, in my mind, anything is possible. Anything.
That's exactly right. Amen.
I would be a fool not to submit to the Academy Awards.
Good for you. Good for you.
That's exactly right. You know how when you buy a lottery ticket before the win, before the winner is announced, you start, oh, what if I win? And, oh, my God, I'm going to do this and that. So I'm kind of having that moment with the Academy Awards. Like, how
good for you.
I'm kind of fantasizing and dreaming a little bit, knowing full well the chances are so slim. But it's a nice moment, and it is because of COVID that I'm able to submit. And here's the reason why. The way the Academy Awards works is if you submit your film, you first have to qualify your film by having it run for 7 days and seven nights on the East Coast, New York City, and in California. And you have to have reviews like in the New York Times and Variety. So that qualifies your film. And you know who pays for that? The filmmaker. And you know how much that costs? About $10,000. So I don't have $20,000 to put it in the theaters. But because the theaters were all shut down, they said, okay, well, we are lifting that requirement. So that's my opportunity. I know. So that was kind of a silver lining a little bit. What if I win kind of moment. But in the back of my mind, I know it's probably not going to happen. But it's okay to try.
Hey, you have nothing to lose. What's the worst that's going to happen?
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
Oh, I love
that. That's right.
That's it. Just step out and do it. You know, that's the best part. You know? Before you leave the show, I want you to give a shout out of anything that we didn't cover just now. Website, everything is gonna be on our page tomorrow. But if there's something that you didn't discuss and you wanted to, or you wanna give your website again, whatever, just now's the time to do it. Now's the time we say go plug yourself to our guests. So the platform is yours.
For sure. Visit the website if you just want to see. There's even an 18-minute video recap of the premiere, so that for those who couldn't attend the premiere, they at least get to see the highlights of the premiere. So that's on the website. And if you're interested in streaming it, you can do that immediately right this moment from the website as well. The only thing I did not mention, which is so exciting, I'm kind of just chomping at the bit. I'm starting a new business specifically for women with gray and silver hair. And I'm in the midst of getting the website together. So I'm not saying what it is yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like, I can't wait because it's going to be so wonderful for women with gray and silver hair. So I've been trying to get the website built, and there's been some, you know, different options available, whether it's Wix or Shopify or some other platform, WordPress. And so so that's the only other thing I did not mention. And that will, I will be announcing it when it's ready to go. I will be announcing it. So, but I'm super excited about it, and that's the only other thing.
And,
if,
and you can't
once
mention
it's
the
announced,
name of it, right? Yeah.
No, not really. Once it's announced, it will be, I'll be announcing it on the Gray is the New Blonde website, as well as social media, of course. But
okay, perfect.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
That's very cool. And you'll come
talking.
On again and you'll talk about it. Yeah. But
yes.
That's why you were here, darling. That's why you were here. You were a wonderful guest.
I'm,
and like I said, you'll be on again. And it's just, you know, we had at least 2 years to catch up on, right? So it was perfect.
I know.
Perfect. Victoria Marie, thank you so much for joining us. And you'll be on again.
Oh, Lori, thank you.
You're welcome, my darling. And
it was nice to meet
will be
you, Victoria.
Tomorrow.
And nice to meet you as well.
Isn't she lovely?
It really.
Are you on the West Coast with me?
I'm in LA on the West Side.
Oh, you are? Oh, okay. That's cool. I'm downtown LA. You're on the West Side.
Okay, that's not far from me. It's not.
No, not far. We'll have to try to grab. Well, when we can, a coffee.
That would be nice.
that would be nice.
I think that would be nice.
Yeah.
Good for you both. I like that.
Yeah.
Victoria
yeah.
Marie, thank you so much. Everything's going to be on our page
you.
Tomorrow. And just stay safe and sane, sweetheart. And we'll have you
yes.
on again.
You too.
Thank you, darling.
You too.
Bye-bye,
oh,
sweetheart.
Bye.
You're so welcome. And thank
bye-bye,
you.
Honey.
All right.
My
bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd love her, Liz. Isn't she lovely?
Yeah, she's
Liz?
Great. I mean, she's very passionate about her project. I did want to ask her if she enjoyed filmmaking just because, you know, sometimes people fall in love with it. They can't wait to
yeah.
make another one. And then they and other times they see the real deal and they're not interested in it. And that's okay.
It's a lot, though. And, you know, again, I'm going to go through my archives and see when it was 2 years ago she was on the show. And she, like I said, she was on the set and she called in and we were talking. And yeah, it's a lot of stuff. You know, and again, it's not just a product, it's a passion. It becomes your child, it's your baby. So
right.
it's philosophy. So again, it has to be so perfect and it's not, you know, you put everything into it and, you know, the stakes are high just on that level. But
nerve-wracking.
I mean, is she not close to you? I mean, I don't know the West Coast well. You should have like a drink or something. You'd love each other.
We should because, you know, I also saw on her Facebook page about the teas and the tanks. I don't know if she's selling that. I would like to ask her about that.
I believe she is.
Okay.
I believe she is.
And I think
I believe she is.
That would be really cool to take a look at that. And I would love to meet up with her. That would be great. And it's not a big deal for me to jump on the freeway. And we're very centrally located where I am on the West Side. And I could meet her downtown. Look, I'm already planning it. She doesn't know.
No, but I mean,
so.
But I mean, that's nice because I mean, I just, you know, again, I'm coming from an East Coast mentality because it's like, well, if somebody's on the West Side, okay, meet me on the East. It doesn't matter. You take a train or, you know, across in the city, you don't drive. You don't need to. You take a train, you go over. And it might take you a half an hour to get there, but you get there, you know. But it'd be nice for you to meet up. Because she's very lively and lovely and, you know, she's passionate as you are with your, but I mean, she's got a great point of view of women who have gone gray. And I have a great, before we talk about a Gemma moment, we're going to do that. You know Mae Musk, right? The cover girl. You've seen her face on TV. She's probably about 75
now. Wait, one more time,
Mae Musk. She's a cover girl,
oh,
and
yeah.
You've seen her Okay. Now, I have a great Mae Musk story, and I always say, my God, I have these gems that I could just throw out occasionally. Mae Musk came to my business about 25 years ago. Mae Musk's nutritionist. She came to my business. She came to my office, and she wanted a job as a nutritionist because at that point, I didn't have any fitness. It was just all, you know, sports massage and everything, and I had all my therapists going to, you know, pretty much high profile, you know, movie sets and so on and so forth. And she wanted to kind of merge business, and she wanted to add nutrition to my business. And at that point, I just didn't have it. You know, I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to add that. It's just sports massage right now, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, this woman's got a $30 million dollar contract with CoverGirl. And Mae Musk, I mean, her son is Elon Musk, and she is just a lovely woman. And I have her resume on my desk. I still have it. And so I always say to people, this is Mae Musk. And I always white out her number because she wrote down her cell number on it, and I didn't want to give it to anybody. But I say to myself, that's pretty cool. I said, look, yeah, she was slumming when she came to get a job with me. Look at her now. It's just really cool. Boy, she's probably saying, I really wanted to work for Lori Towers. Damn her.
Well, you know, I mean, maybe she was just dying to.
Well, I'm sure right now it's the last thing on her mind. But it just, you know, it just didn't work out. We weren't doing nutrition at the time. But she, I think, does have a PhD in nutrition, and she speaks probably four languages. Absolutely lovely. But again, it's just like one of those things that didn't work out. And here she is, multi-million dollar contracts, and she's just fine.
That is crazy, Lori.
It's a crazy story, right? I love it.
Totally. Oh, my gosh, that is crazy.
So now I want to talk about, now it's time for our, wait, what's the sound effect I have? Okay, I'll do that again. It's a gem moment.
Basically going from talking about embracing yourself to, are we heading into the moment?
Baby doll, we're in the moment. We're in a Gemma moment. That was the
Okay, we're in that. We are. All right. I'm having trouble hearing.
Knee deep
so
in a Gemma moment.
In the Gemma moment. Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Now, we will have Melissa Laskin on. She is a celebrity stylist and does know all the tricks about, you know, hiding and, when I say hiding, you know, making things look really good for the moment, for the photo. She's worked on tons of editorial shoots with, you know, a lot of celebrities, men and women. So she curates these outfits that I've been posting as a video on my social media for Gemma Magazine. I think you've seen some of them. And
of course I have.
She doesn't design them. Yeah, but she curates them, Lori, and so, you know, you can buy any piece you want. If you like the vest or the necklace or the shirt underneath the vest, and she really put some cute things together and some great jeans. I found a pair of jeans for you for your combat boots. So, no, I'm just kidding. I gotta let the combat boots go. But I've seen them everywhere.
Wait,
on
don't
every
forget,
runway.
Don't forget the fuzzy cardigan. And I said to John, okay, 1 week she's got me in a floppy hat, then a cardigan, and then combat boots. I don't know. My head is spinning. I don't know what to do. I don't know who I am anymore.
I'm going to make a mood board. I think I need to make a mood. I have been a little bit all over the place. But when I say combat boots, I'm talking more of a feminine shape. They go with, like, very pretty skirts. They really go with anything. And that's the thing about Melissa. Most of her stuff goes with anything. That black bracelet I posted that is stunning, I see you in. It's got crystals. It's got pearls. It is a fierce bracelet. Like, women that wear that have confidence. I definitely see you in that. Now, maybe not. I don't see you in all of this at the same time. So, you know, black bracelet, fuzzy jacket, flop. Did I say floppy hat? And
you
combat
said the
boots.
Floppy hat, baby. You did. You said it. You said it all. And I'm blinking.
Geez.
I'm just like blinking as you say these things.
No, I'm serious. I don't remember seeing the floppy hat. I got to take that out. So
no,
I'll come up with a mood board.
But that's why I sent you a picture of me in my beret yesterday, sweetheart. Because you said a beret, a floppy hat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I sent you the picture of me in my...
I think I did.
You did.
Okay, so moving along, after that situation, she does this body painting as well for, believe it or not, you know, models that, that do it
mm-hmm.
for her. And sometimes she'll just do them nude with a, you know, $5,600 necklace of thing. And or it doesn't have to be that expensive, obviously. But I don't like to throw out numbers like that. That's not, excuse me for saying that. But, you know, obviously all eyes are on the necklace and the body. So she does that. And we're going to have her live tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll go to the spiritual realm. I'm hoping by Friday we will all feel quite zen and spiritual and do enchanted strands. So that will be lovely. They travel around, they sell, they're very hippie girls. They're like from San Diego, which is like the southern part of California, of Southern California. So beautiful area. And they make gorgeous necklaces, rings, bracelets. Malas is their big thing. And they have mala making workshops. Now, I'm telling you, even if I took a workshop, I would not be able to make a mala. I just want them to make me a mala and I can pay them.
Why do you say that?
I just don't make things. I just, you know, I see it. I feel like I've got the eye, Lori, but I can't exactly put the mala together. But I am
excited
because they're two different things. Oh, trust me. Well, maybe if I go to a workshop, you know, I can try.
Why don't you?
But so I'm excited to, you know, they're so different, the two styles. And then next week, I'm going to have a, she's actually an artist living in Mexico, like a brand. And she has her own brand.
Oh.
It's all black and white. So, I will talk to her, but I'm just going to do a few more lives and see how that goes and, you know, try to center it around fashion and beauty and floppy hats.
And I was so proud of myself.
I'm
going to center this picture.
Something else.
I have no idea what happened from 1 week to the next. I'm having an identity crisis. From 1 week to the next, I don't know who I am. That's all I'm saying.
No, Lord,
the fuzzy cardigan.
Together.
The fuzzy cardigan, and John is like, "What a cardigan like Mr. Rogers?" I said, "I don't know what she's saying. I don't know what she's saying to me. I have no idea what's going on."
No, no, Mr. Rogers. I'm telling you, this is a. You know what? I'm gonna send some pictures.
Okay.
I'm gonna send you some pictures of some things that I see you in, and I really think you would be like, yeah, that is, I can see myself in that. I do.
I'm sure I could. I trust your eye. I'm sure I could. But it's like, for me, it's just like 1 week, okay, it's this. No, now it's this. Okay, floppy hat. No, I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
No, not the floppy hat. You see a lot of, too many of those women out here running around skipping at the park. So.
With the floppy hat?
No.
Yeah.
You don't wear
a floppy hat, honey?
I actually don't. I wear a lot of beanies, and sometimes I'll wear like a baseball cap, believe it or not. But a floppy hat on me, every time I put it on, my kids are like, "What? Where? Are you going to some picnic? What is that?" No, literally, they're like, "What is that?" So
kids are great for self-esteem, that's for sure.
Anyway,
well, look,
that is
either
that
way
for the Gemma moment.
So, but you didn't say what time. You told us you're having. You didn't tell us what time you're going to be having.
Okay, so this will be at 2 p.m. on Thursday. Yes, please tune in. I need people to tune in. And you can actually see that I am real, that Mm-hmm. I'm not a tape recorder that calls in to work. And 2 p.m. on Friday, or it could be 3 p.m. Friday, but definitely 2 p.m. tomorrow.
So that's your time.
And
that's your time.
And that is
New
specific,
York listeners
yeah.
would be, okay, specific. So it would be, my time would be 5 o'clock. Right?
But I do think you'll like, I think you'll like tomorrow, Lori, with Melissa. She's worked with so many people. And the Malas, too. I'd be, don't worry, I'm not going to set you up in a floppy hat with a Mala, not yet.
I'm not afraid of you, Liz. You could do whatever you want. It's going to be fine. I'm not afraid.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
But now this is on Instagram or Facebook Live?
This is on Instagram Live. I'm giving all the information, but the important information, I know. So, I appreciate you letting me plug that, Lori.
Of course. I'm going to see, and if, you know, if I'm driving, I will pull over to watch you. What do you think of that?
Okay.
But I'm going to try to make sure I'm in the house. I'm going to make sure I'm in the house, and I'll have my little glass of wine and watching my Lizzie. That's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
That will be awesome.
And I'll say hello and just rattle you. Just take pictures of myself smiling and send it to you. Distract you.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I think we both stayed up too late last night.
Oh, I'm always like this. No. This is I wake up like this. That's pretty much it.
Well, I wish I did.
That.
I don't.
You're fine. You're fine. I think you always bubble, right? I think you always bubble.
Yeah.
No?
I go to bed late and I wake up, you know, pretty early. Mm-hmm. There's too much to do, too much to miss out on, I say.
I resent sleeping late, which, I mean, I never sleep past 5:30 anyway, but it's always wasted time. I mean, I could be doing something else, you know. I'll sleep enough when I'm dead, you know. That's the way I see it.
You have things on your mind, you want to get done. Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to do it.
And I think that's our show. That's our show for this week.
I'm not saying anymore.
That's a show for this week, and we will be back next week, 1 o'clock East Coast time, 10 o'clock with my Lizzie West Coast time. And everybody, stay sane, stay safe, and just, you know, try to stay as zen as possible. These are very, very difficult times. We have a lot of obstacles. Just try to keep the humanity in everything we're doing. And a quote I'm going to leave everybody with one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa is, if we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten we belong to each other. So keep that in mind when we see the division in our neighbors and ourselves. We belong to each other, and we have to make this work because we're all we've got. So say goodbye, Lizzie.
Okay, everybody, thank you for listening and tuning in. Lori, it was such a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for everything.
Always, darling. And Nina's going to take us home, and stay well, everybody. I love you, Liz, and we'll see each other next week.
Love you, too. See everybody next week. Bye.